Welcome to Description, Valerie in Toronto. Hi, I'm Valerie. And yeah, I'm in Toronto. This is now probably the third time I've tried to record this fucking thing. My device is being so annoying. Good way to start. I'm recording this in response to something a podcasting friend of mine posted on Facebook. I guess now that I'm home, I should look for it. Posted this morning, and it's been bugging me all day. Someone is wrong on the internet. Oh, that's not true. Let's see. Here's what it says. It says, "Hello, cities. Yeah, you suck. Suck the life out of some people. Sure, there are arts and entertainment, but and if someone who is never known any life except the city, then they're at home, our home. But for those of us who grew up, I guess they're home. But for those of us who grew up in a rural life, it will always be too many people, too much traffic, too much stress. Some of us live in cities because our careers are there, but if the option was feasible, we'd sooner live in a cabin deep in the woods. In this uber-connected world, why are we not more spread out? Why must we continue to cluster so densely and on top of one another?" And there's a link to a short film called Rat Race. And it's an animated, short animated film, satirical, I thought, that shows thousands and thousands and thousands of rats in little suits and ties and dresses and whatnot, scurrying from one place to another in a city and on top of each other and going to go to their job and come back and all on top of each other, waiting for the subway train to come in and on top of each other, trying to buy stuff and lots of buying stuff and a lot of advertisements everywhere about happiness and like buy this for happiness or take this for happiness or do whatever. And yeah. Okay. And so there are comments, and one is, humans evolved as a social species. Living together is natural, but it seems that societies and cultures evolve in ways that push our natural instincts to unnatural levels. Cities are a prime example. Another says, actually, that's all I'm going to say about that. It was just that one. So this has been bugging me all day. And why is it bugging me all day? Is it a someone is wrong on the internet thing? No, not necessarily, because this is an opinion and based on certain experiences, and that is valid. So I can't really make like I'm on debate club here and put together some sort of rhetoric to, you know, prove I'm right and you're wrong. All I can do is express my experience, which is really different. So I'll lay it out. And I will now close this thing. Closing the laptop. For those who don't know, or it's a refresher, I come from a small town in Ohio. That's about 4,000 people, maybe. And was centered around a square. A park. That's still there. Where the usual important things would be around the square. That's how the small towns where I come from were laid out. And all that remains of that is the library, the post office, and the fire department. And the school is a little bit up a hill, about not even a quarter mile from that area. And I used to walk back and forth to school. Because the house was on another road, not far from that square as well. And, or it still is. And so there was that. We were between two larger, or still are between two larger towns that are about, I don't know, somewhere from 10,000 to 15,000 people. And so if you wanted to get anything done about anything, and including going to school, once you're past sixth grade, you would drive there. And, you know, kids in other, other towns, small towns, like Pierrepont and North Kingsville and stuff, they would have to take, buses even further to get to, the school that is in Ashtabula. Anyway, so that's, you know, and that was fine. I didn't know any different. And was very happy when I got my car, I'll tell you that right now. And, you know, it was fine. Now, in my beginning teens, as you may know, I got really obsessed with Canada. And I'm not going to get into all that. But I'll focus on the Toronto thing. In my obsession with Canada, I thought, wow, I'd like to go to this Toronto place, and got my family to go. We do that. We go visit places. So we drove up here, and I was about 12 or 13 or something. I've told the story before, but it's been a long time, I guess. And I came up here to this city of millions and millions of people, and we did some of the tourist things, you know, CN Tower, Harborfront, and Dean Center, I guess. But not we weren't running ourselves ragged with it. And when my, in fact, to give you some idea of when this was, when I was, when we went up the CN Tower and I looked down, you look straight down on a parking lot that would soon become the construction area for Roy Thomson Hall. So that gives you some idea, those of you who know anything like that. So, but, you know, still a big city. And while my mom and my grandma were at Variety Bingo on Lansdowne, my dad and I walked around downtown, early evening, and, walked around the financial district for some reason, because we just happened to be downtown, and, everyone was gone. And while Dad was, trying to figure out if that one building was really, covered in gold, I just kind of wandered around looking up and around and sat on this marble slab bench and then laid back on it because I felt that I could. And laid there and looked up, straight up, and the buildings were like all surrounding my view. And I could see the sky in the middle of them, and it was like trees in a forest. And closed my eyes because I felt that I could. And I'd never felt more peaceful in my life. What does that say about my childhood? I don't know. But there it was. And I'll never forget that. And that was when I set my thought that I was going to live here. Because that was not simply because, you know, oh, I'm going to move here and live in the financial district where I can lay down on marble slabs and look up at big tall buildings every night. No, that wasn't quite the idea. This was just sort of a center point for the more general experience that I was having on this visit, which was that this overwhelming, dominant feeling that I had while I was here, that I felt comfortable. I felt absolutely comfortable. So some of you might think that's nuts, but that was my experience. And fortunately, in the last, very recently, I've gotten some idea why that may have been, but I didn't really realize it at the time. It was instinctual, I suppose. I don't know. Anyway, so I had the great experience here and kept coming back. And the experiences continued being all right, although, you know, not perfect or anything. I wasn't dazzled by this place. I wasn't like, I'm going to come here and be a star. I was in, you know, radio, and my ultimate aspiration was to, you know, be a DJ in a big station, and then eventually to have my own studio and do commercials and stuff, which is what I do now. Basically, that second part, I got that nailed. But it wasn't like glamour or fame or like whatever. I was just in a place where I felt right. And and to a lesser extent, I've sort of felt that way in other cities that I've been in. When I lived in Bristol for 3 months. If you have listened to any of the podcasts that I used to do ages ago, you know, when I would travel, I would go to other cities and do shows there. I did Montreal and Vancouver and Winnipeg was before the time that I recorded these things, and so was Halifax. But London and Paris and stuff. And because those are, I like visiting cities. What was it last year? I was in Minneapolis, and that's a different animal, Minneapolis, but I liked it there too. In its American city kind of way. And I like going back to Cleveland, which has improved by leaps and bounds in terms of its planning and the stuff that it has downtown and stuff. Anyway, and so yeah, the cities are a thing for me, and I didn't really entirely get why, although I would over the years and the experiences that I would have here. Like, I finally, you know, after I graduated from high school, I came up here to, well, supposedly to go to university, but it was just an excuse to come up here and live. And even then, I was a little hesitant about it. You know, I didn't apply to U of T. I'm checking to see if this thing still works. I didn't apply to go to U of T because I felt nervous. I still felt nervous about being in a city, like I was comfortable being here, but in terms of living here, I knew that was a different animal, so I wasn't sure. So I kind of hedged my bets, and I went to York, which, you know, is, you know, it's like, it was a decent compromise, because it was very accessible to the city, to, you know, the city, but still a little outside, you know, so it was a gateway drug. And I was still, you know, driving my car and everything. So it was a decent next step. And, but eventually, you know, I came back here, and in between, you know, during my radio career, I would move to different, you know, markets, town to town, up and down the dial. And whenever I, even in smaller towns, in smaller cities, like Cobourg or Barrie or whatever, Belleville, I made a point to live in their quote-unquote downtown area. I was very fortunate that those small cities, they all had pretty decent downtown areas. I mean, not super great, but it wasn't like, you know, there are plenty of towns that where the downtown area is a bit hollowed out. Gosh, Jabula back home is like that. But those three were okay. And this has been a consistent kind of thing here. And okay, so why? Well, over the years, it's clarified itself more all the time since I gave up my car. I'm not going to argue about with anybody from the banging on cities talking about how shit the traffic is. I'm totally with you on that part. People should not be driving cars here. There's a certain point where you get in the core, I think in a lot of cities, not all of them, not American ones, with the exception of New York, and yeah, that having a car is more of a burden than something essential. And I've found that out. And I never, in a thousand billion years, never thought I would give up driving. I haven't given up driving, but given up a car, owning a car. And, but there came the point that I was like, no, this is stupid. I lived downtown. Back then I lived in another part of downtown. And I can get to work on the bus. And I'm good with that. And it's stupid to have a car here. So just don't have a fucking car. That's not the city's fault. That's the people with cars' fault. It is in part the city's fault if their transit system is shit. Now, we complain a lot about our transit system here. And it's gotten worse. But relatively speaking, it's great. And I do mean relatively speaking. I think Montreal's is better. But then, of course, people in Montreal could very easily bitch about their metro system and be fine. I can get places here. I don't go places in this city to get my crust of bread and to buy stuff thinking I'm going to be happy. I'm not that crazy about shopping in the first place, for one thing. In fact, as you may know, I work at home. I can work wherever I want, so long as I have a recording place, which I have, a little closet that is serviceable for me to record. Once I record, doing the rest of the stuff that I do, writing, producing, editing, whatever, I can do that anywhere on this computer. And so I can be home doing this here. I choose to leave to go somewhere else, whether it's a coffee place or a library, of which I have several to choose from just in walking distance. Okay, fair. I have 1, 2, 3. Well, 3. They're big ones and they're good. And there are plenty of others that give people opportunities they would not otherwise have. And I can go to any number of coffee places. And if I wanted to, I could go get a space at a shared working area, whatever the fuck you call them. I haven't happened to have done that because it costs money and fuck that. I also don't need to put up the appearance of having an office. So that's not part of my gig. So I don't need that. But the fact that that exists now, shared work spaces, that gives some indication that in answer to the question of, you know, of working. You can work anywhere. Why do you work where you work? I could be in a house, in a cabin somewhere, or whatever the fuck, if I was privileged and did not have to worry too much about, say, companies skimping out on rural broadband. That's a whole thing. Because there are a lot of people in North America who don't have the service that us privileged people do here. And you know, they got to drive someplace, like to a library, to get to have their kids be able to do homework. That's a thing, okay? So, but anyway, I can work wherever, so I can work at home. Why not do that? But it's any freelancer who works at home will tell you that it's very difficult for it's very difficult to maintain discipline to do work. And so every day I will go somewhere and do work. Not even for the idea of like, making like I have an office or something, but, I will go somewhere and do work and I will be around people. Now, here's the main thing about this city thing that disturbed me, regarding this post, is about people. There are a lot of people here and maybe a lot of them suck. Do a lot of them suck per capita? I don't know. But the people that I've been exposed to here, even not knowing, even if I don't talk to them or know them or whatever, because again, it may feel incongruent, the fact that I am an antisocial person, that I am, I can't think of the word, not wanting to talk to people, that person, and yet I'm in the middle of this city. Well, you see, talking to people and being around people are different. For one thing, so I don't know, I live alone, and there may be people on top of me, but there aren't people on top of me in my apartment, so that's a thing. But I can go out there, and there'll be all these people, and I won't necessarily feel intimately connected with them. I may not talk with them, but they're there. And we're sharing the same space. Now, not long ago, I finally read some stuff by Jane Jacobs, who I will not begin to explain. Look it up. But she said a lot of useful things about cities. And she... I got to read some of her stuff, and light bulbs went off in my head about what she would talk about. Her experience in cities that she would write about at the time was, although she would make reference to other cities in making connections, that it wasn't specific to New York City, but New York City in the 50s and early 60s. And she would talk about how it's good for safety that neighborhoods or a high street, as they say in England, would be active with people. Super mega crowded, not necessarily, but that there were, you know, shops and that people would go to actively, not buying things necessarily for their happiness, but the the different things that you do during the course of a day, buying food or the newspaper or going to the school or coming back, picking up the kids, whatever. And seeing the same people sometimes, or not seeing the same people all the time. But that when there is a city street or a neighborhood that is active and has people circulating through it, that's good for safety, because there are, as she put it, eyes on the street. And people, now, of course, there are plenty of stories of horrible crimes that will happen in crowds and nobody does anything. That's more of a bug than a feature. Because I've seen this. This isn't merely theoretical, and she saw it year after year after year after year, studying these things and studying the actual people as they actually are in cities, which is what I think this post completely misses, is people. These are people. These are not fucking automatons. These are not rats. These are people who are going about their day, and not always happily. But it turns out when there's circulation of people, it's less likely that there's going to be crime. There's going to be crime, but it's less likely there's going to be crime than when you have one of these things like, you know, St. Jamestown used to be settlements. What the projects were. These samey buildings and with no trees and no reason for anybody to be outside between the buildings or anything. And so it would just be just desolate. And so anybody walks through there, you know, you're fucked, because it's just you and whoever might be lurking around the corner of that building. There's nobody to watch. There's nobody to be more importantly, there's nobody there to be a presence that would possibly stop someone from doing something. And it's just not just about crime. It's also about a community. There are neighborhoods here that have communities. And it's not necessarily like a small town where everybody knows what everybody's shit is, which is a whole other thing that I don't think we always need. But it's people who know each other enough. Or people who know they share the same space, so they're just generally friendly with each other. Here's an example. One of the times I was trying to record this thing, I was coming into this building from the street, where it was very quiet, by the way. And I was like, when I went in, I held the building door open for the next person who was coming up, and said thank you, and went ahead. And then I went into the stairwell, because I try to go upstairs instead of elevator. Good for me. And there was a couple people coming in the other way, and so you know, it's like, oh, sorry, thanks, go aside, okay, thank you, and we go, you know, on with our lives. And those things. Now that seems ridiculously small and petty, doesn't it? But that's generally how people are in cities. Is like that. I mean, sure, plain people are assholes, but for the most part, I mean, really? I mean, people will, you know, let you go in front of something or leave open the door, or in fact, we're not actually allowed to, we're not supposed to be leaving open the door for people, because that's, but we do. Because that's just a thing that people do in cities. By and large, though not all the time. There's not an all the time to any of this. When there are a lot of people and we're sharing the same space, we tend to be neutral to okay with each other. And I think we take that for granted because we're not being all Hallmark and shit about it. And again, you know, we're not nice to everybody and sometimes we're assholes and whatever. But when you consider all these people, you know, there's a certain general decorum that really is maintained in a city where people are out there doing stuff. In addition, there's the added thing to being in Toronto. I listened to a podcast with Jennifer Kiesmatt, who was a city planner here up until very recently. And she was talking to another guy who was from another city, and they were talking about transit and stuff. And they were talking about being on a streetcar or tram or whatever, and it being, you know, kind of crowded, and all the different people from all different experiences, all in that same space, occupying that same space, and you're sitting there, maybe you're reading a book, or maybe you're listening to music or whatever. But eventually you'll like look around and you'll see, you know, some Sri Lankan woman in a suit, you know, putting her sneakers on after being at the office. Or you'll see, you know, some person you don't know where they're from with clothes that you would never have seen in the small town where you grew up. And they're just doing the same thing as you. They're riding on the tram to get to work or home or school or picking up their kids or whatever it is people do. And you see that every day. When I've been home back in Ohio, and for an extended period of time, like for me, once I get past about 3 or 4 days, I start getting a little punchy, and I take this stupid idiot Greyhound bus here, and once I'm here, if it's been a long stretch of time, I'm like looking around, I'm getting off the, and when I get off the bus, I tend to be in Chinatown. It's Chinatown in Japan, little Japan. And I get off the bus and I start walking around to, you know, cause I've been sitting down for so long, and I start hearing different languages again. I start seeing all these different people again, and I'm like, yay, I'm here. Yay, this is where I feel connected, though I'm not, obviously, in some great intimate way that evidently people in small towns are supposed to be connected in. I feel like I'm in a place where feel like I'm in the middle of humanity. Not that there's any humanity out there in rural areas. God knows, yes, absolutely, because we're all fucking humans. Here, I feel comfort in humanity. That maybe I'm not able to feel in another way or as easily. But what Kiesmatt was saying was there's some really intrinsic value being in a city, whether it's on transit or not, but certainly not in a fucking car. You don't get it in a car. Being out of a car and among people, that's, you see all these different people doing their stuff, and it, and you're like learning something subconsciously about the differences and commonalities of people all over the world. Because they've come for you from all over the world. Also, to an extent, people who may have disabilities and stuff. Although accessibility is not super easy here. It's not easy anywhere. There are a lot of people who can get to a bunch of different places and do a bunch of different things in this city that they could not living in a rural area. They would need a car for everything. And for some people with disabilities, that's a big deal. So there's that. Also for anybody who is dependent on a car. I know I sound super anti-car, and it's not entirely right, but it's part of what defines what's good about cities. And obviously there are tons of fucking cars here, but because people just don't fucking get it in their heads that once you get to a certain area in a city, it's stupid to have a car. But it's still going to happen. And obviously there are going to be trucks that like deliver shit, and you know, so there's that stuff. But there's something different about your experience of people when you're on foot or in chair or on a bike, or, you know, when you're sharing the same air, basically. Shitty as that air might sometimes be. You're less isolated. Although it may seem sometimes in a city that these people, all of these masses of people, may seem isolated because they're not all like got their arms around each other singing Kumbaya or some fuck. But, and that's what it started, hearing these things being said and reading these things being written, started to connect the dots for me about why I felt comfortable here. And why I feel very generally comfortable in cities. And the more downtown, the more central, the better for me. Because it seems to be how I express my, I guess, need to be, to feel part of humanity. I didn't, you know, I never quite got that until recently. And so I love having the opportunities that I have here, not in terms of work, because again, I can do that from anywhere. But in experiences, I wouldn't toss off museums very blithely. And shows and arts. That's not what I'm entirely talking about. It's, and Yeah, you can go buy stuff, but it ain't going to make me happy. And again, cities aren't like a panacea. They're cities. They're tools. They're structures. We make the most of what is in them. You know, there are people who can't deal with it. There are people who have their own problems. And a city isn't necessarily going to solve it for them. Maybe they should be off somewhere in some rural area. You know, yay them. And certainly there must be a shit ton of people who do come to a city to work, and that's the only reason why they do it. I wish they could find other places somewhere where they want to be. I also get annoyed by people in this city who are living in this city, but they act like they want to be not in the city. Whether they've got some big ass car or they like mowing their lawn that's like a fucking postage stamp, or they, I don't know, or they bitch about being in the city. It's like, fine, go fucking move somewhere else then. Leave the city for people who like fucking cities, which is me. So, and also there's the immigrant thing. I was visiting my birth mother in New Brunswick, and she lives in a small town. You have to have a car. And they have some Syrian refugees there. And there are people, you know, who have, the community's really helped them out, and they have helped the community, and it's going pretty well. The whole thing about having to have a car is a thing. And so they've got to go through the process of trying to, you know, get their license and how do you afford a car and, you know, that sort of thing in order to get anything done there. Here, Toronto, hard, still really fucking hard for people who are immigrants and are refugees, but at least you can fucking walk places to get to stuff. And that, so it's not terribly surprising that so many immigrants end up here and in cities, because more things are accessible. The barrier to entry, in terms of experiencing things, is lower in a city. It's still a barrier, but it's lower, I think. And so that's partially how you get all of these different people and all these different experiences, and just having that energy there, that sort of humanity there that you wouldn't have otherwise. That's a thing too. Have I come up with everything yet? I guess there's probably more to it, but that's my experience and these are my thoughts. Cities are great, but they're made great by the people in them. And where a person feels most comfortable isn't necessarily where I feel most comfortable, and vice versa. But I'm very, very thankful and grateful that I am where I am. I feel very much my own person. I am sometimes intimidated by the humanity around me, but that doesn't stop me from appreciating it and feeling very fortunate to be around it and it around me, I guess. I wish that everyone, be they in a rural area or an urban area or whatever the fuck in between that people keep coming up with, that people just be comfortable where they are. I think that's all I got. If you stuck with this, thank you so much. And take care.